to Psalm 68, if you would, please. Thank you for your prayers. I know this church has prayed for me, and back in June, the doctor stopped the chemo. A CT scan said that there was maybe two lymph nodes that were enlarged just a little bit, but he felt there might be scar tissue, and because of my immune system being down where it was, he wanted to stop. And I've seen no growth or anything like that, so we'll have a CT scan at the end of September, and he will declare that I'm in remission, and that'd be a great thing, amen? Whether he does or not, God is good all the time, amen? And all the time, God is good, amen? Yeah, when I got home in December, I looked like I'd been in a concentration camp. Literally, I was skin and bones, had no muscle left on my body. My stomach was swelled out like I was a pregnant woman. And both of my legs were swelled from the bottom up to my thighs. Couldn't even bend my knees. And so, but God is good, amen? And he allowed me to continue. So thank you for prayers. Give him all the glory, amen? I started out naturally, and then some people said to me, well, Brother Houston, you quit trusting the Lord, went to the doctors. No, I didn't. Did you know God made the doctors? You know, God gave us a brain, amen? And God placed everything on this earth and said that we could use it, amen? And so, we have nothing except what God gave us, amen? Praise the Lord. Psalm 68 and verse 19. I hope you'll be here for all of the services. I didn't bring revival in my briefcase. I cannot do that. I cannot revive you. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord will do that if we let Him. So I hope that you'll come and you'll let God speak to your heart. I've got a message that I think I'll preach tonight. I want to preach it this morning, but I'm wrestling with that. I hope you'll come back tonight. It's a very, very important message, and I hope you'll be here. I am very burdened about America. And I don't know if you love America or not, but I love America very deeply. I'm so thankful that I got to be born and raised and live in this country. And I don't want to be anywhere else unless God would call me to be a missionary somewhere. But by choice, I will always want to live in America. Amen? And when I taught public school history, I had a sign on my office, America, love it or leave it. And I still believe that. If you don't love America, then go someplace else. Amen. Now, I don't love everything America does, but I love America. Amen. I love America's government. I do not want communism. I don't want it. I want nothing to do with it. And so I know exactly what way I've got to vote. I want nothing to do with it. And I love America's Christianity. And I don't want any other Christianity. And so if somebody wants communism, if they'll tell me, I'll give them a one-way ticket to a communist country. And if somebody wants a Muslim country, if they'll tell me, I'll send them to Saudi Arabia. Be glad to send them there. Amen. Amen. We are a very blessed nation. And I don't know if I'll preach on that this week, but I do hope you'll be here tonight. Psalm 68. And if you find that, if you'll stand with me for the reading of just one verse in Psalm 68. I like a little joke once in a while. By the way, let me say this to you. I believe there are four types of evangelists. I believe there's evangelistic evangelists. Those are guys that have an ability to preach salvation, see a bunch of people saved. Dennis Corll comes to my mind. I believe that there are specialist evangelists, those who have a special message, for instance, prophecy, the home, S.M. Davis comes to mind. I believe there are camp meeting evangelists. I love those guys. Amen. They talk about everything wonderful and they never say anything negative and we all run around shouting around hallelujah. Amen. And then there are revivalists. God's called me to be a revivalist. A revival comes only when God's people recognize their need of revival and they repent to have revival. So there has to be a recognition and a repentance in order to have revival. Now, I believe that we need revival. Let me ask you this. If there's anything in your life that you used to do for God that you're not doing, then you need a revival. So if you used to be in church all the time, doors open, and you're not, then you need a revival. You see, it's bringing back to life that which is dying. It's also called breaking up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that is no longer productive. My grandfather farmed, and we did fallow ground on purpose to let the ground rest. But when you have fallow ground, there's no production out, there's no crop growing, and the weeds of the world come in, and the ground gets hard, and the ground gets covered with weeds. And it's absolutely of no use. And if you have stopped serving the Lord like you should, you'll find that worldliness has crept in. The sins of the world that you would have never thought of doing, you now do them. Not because you intended to go there, but because you allowed it to happen in your life. You see, we have to actively stay right with God. I wish God would just unscrew our head and put holiness in us, but He doesn't do that. Amen? I used to tell my people this, if living Christian was easy, everybody'd do it. So it's not easy. And I used to tell my folks this, God will never make you do anything nor stop you from doing anything. God made us free more than. I can go out here right now if I want to, and I can get drunk, and God will not slap that liquor out of my hand. However, there will be a price to pay. Amen. Amen. And so we're free moral agents. So God won't make you do anything. We're going to stop you from doing anything. So what you need to do is say, Lord, help me, speak to me, and then, Lord, let me be obedient. So I hope you'll do that. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Before I do this, I love this joke. Dad, did you see the stork that brought me? The youngster asked. Only his bill, my child. Only his bill. Amen? Psalm 68, and look with me at verse 19, if you would, please. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the benefits from God. The benefits from God. I think just for a moment, we ought to just stop in this busy world we're in. And we ought to quit listening to the evolutionists. And we ought to quit listening to the humanists. And we ought to understand the benefits of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless this morning. I wrestle with this or the other message. If I've messed up, Lord, well, I'm praying I'll change. You know that. And I'll go another direction. Holy Spirit of God, I need you. Father, nothing I can do without you. Now, Lord, I can walk and talk and I can make decisions, all those things without you, but there's nothing eternal or spiritual I can do without you. Now, Lord, I need you. I need you to anoint me. I need Holy Spirit for you to empower this building. I'm asking you, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around this place, that you'd keep the evil one and his demons from having any place in the service. I know, dear Heavenly Father, from my own personal experience, that the devil will sit on our shoulder while the preacher is preaching and lie to us and tell us not to listen to the Word of God. And I pray you'll bind Satan. I pray, Father, is anyone here today that's never truly been born again, never have been saved, and they're on their way to hell. I pray, God, that you'll show them their lost condition and show them the love of Christ. And bring them to salvation, please. Lord, please, we need you to meet with us. I understand, Lord, without you I can do nothing. Please, Father, I'm begging you. Please, for your glory, meet with us, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice here that the Bible says, blessed be the Lord. We're supposed to bless the Lord, amen? We're supposed to praise Him, amen. I just wonder how many of us praised the Lord this morning. How many of us got up this morning and blessed the Lord instead of bless out the Lord? How many of us got up this morning and we were grateful instead of ungrateful? You know, I know why a lot of people do not want to be a Christian, because they've heard too much from us, the negatives. I quit asking Christians how they're doing. I got tired of hearing it. To say, folks, I have cancer. What's your excuse? How's come you can't be happy? How's come you can't rejoice in what the Lord's done? Blessed be the Lord. We got a bunch of Eeyore Christians. Why would I want to be a Christian if all these Christians are miserable? Bellyaching about what they can't do. Bellyaching about what they don't have. Bellyaching about how hard it is to serve the Lord. By the way, if living Christian was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not that hard to serve the Lord. It's just a matter of us getting our own will under control. Amen? It's a matter of us just being obedient. It's interesting. People say, I'm looking for a moving of the Holy Spirit. Can I say He moved when He made the Scripture? 1 Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were moved. You and I don't have to have the Holy Spirit to move. We need to start moving. Amen. I don't have to have some kind of goosebumps and some type of feely feeling to obey. God didn't say obey because I make you feel, because of feeling. God says obey because I command it. This is not a book of suggestions. This is a book of commandments. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefit. The word benefit there means a treatment. It means a service rendered. Now, you know, I think about this. God serves us daily. Why would the God in heaven want to serve us anything? He serves us daily. He waits upon our need and He provides our need. He serves us daily. He treats us daily. You know? Hey, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Amen? And yet we bellyache and we complain. That word benefit means a dessert. Oh, Uncle Buddy Robertson, the Nazarene preacher, used to say, he had a lisp. It's sweet serving the Lord. It's so sweet serving the Lord. He went to the doctor one day and the doctor said, you got sugar diabetes. He said, I knew it was getting sweet, but I didn't know it was getting that sweet. Amen. Amen. He loadeth us with benefits. Look at that dessert. It's that which He has given. It's a reward. Here the Bible says that blessed be the Lord. Notice the next statement. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, it's time that we quit bellyaching about what we don't have. It's time we understand that God has loaded us with benefits. He's not been stingy. Amen. Our problem is we're in love with the world. Our problem is that what we don't have are the things the world has to offer, and we're mad at God because we don't have those things. And I want to tell you something, dear friend. The worldly things will never really bring you joy. Amen. The wisest man who ever lived wrote 3 books. You ought to listen to me. The first book he wrote is called The Song of Solomon. He wrote that as a young man. It's a book of romance. Now, this is what I believe if you read it. Solomon wanted the Shunammite to love him, but she didn't. She loved the shepherd boy. And Solomon did everything he could to make her love him, and he couldn't do it. And he finally realized true love cannot be forced upon anybody. It can't be bought by power, prestige, or money. Amen. I don't want to find someone that loves me for my position or my possessions. Amen. And thank God I found a one who loves me for me. Amen. And he found out about true love. His second book he wrote is a book of Proverbs, a book of rules. He wrote that as a middle-aged man when he was raising his kids, amen? And may I say this, if you're a dad with no rules on your kids, you're a pretty poor dad. Amen. And if you're a kid that raised up and you didn't like rules, well, you ought to thank God for them. You know what discipline is? Discipline is somebody disciplining you until you can discipline yourself. And as soon as you can discipline yourself, nobody else needs to. By the way, if you don't learn that before you get out of the house, you'll end up in jail someday. Amen. You know why they're in jail? You know why they're in prison? Because they never accepted discipline, never learned discipline. That's not my message, but I just thought I'd throw that out in case somebody's dealing with that. Amen. The last book he wrote is the book of Ecclesiastes. He wrote that when he was an old man. It's a book of regrets. Listen to me. He said, I kept nothing back for myself. I decided to see what's good for man under the heavens. I got wine. I got women. I got wealth. I got wisdom. And I got all kinds of works. He said, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. All it did was cause me to have to battle all the time and be stressed out over everything. And I found out when I got to the end of my life that it was absolutely nothing of importance because I couldn't take it with me. And I left it behind to a child who's probably going to go out and sell it. My daddy just died last April. My daddy has so much stuff. My brother and sister and I are just dumbfounded. What do we do with this stuff? What do we do with it? It was important to dad, but what is it? It's nothing. Now, I love my dad. My mom's still living. And she just says, look, go in there and do what you want to with it. You know, but she liked it for a while too. Amen. But what happened? She came to the end of life and she realized that that really wasn't important. And I got news for you. We've sold ourselves out for a bunch of material possessions and we're not happy with it. We bellyache and complain because we don't have what we want, don't get enough. And the truth of the matter is it's absolutely just nothing important. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says here that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. You and I should understand how that God is daily those benefits. There's two types of benefits that God has given us. Number one, there's the benefits of creation. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And number two, there's the benefits of Christianity. Now, can I tell you that every person living on the face of planet Earth today gets to enjoy the benefits of creation? But only you and I as Christians get to enjoy the benefits of Christianity. I'd hate to be here today lost and on my way to hell and think all this wonderful stuff I get down here and then end up in hell burning forever and ever and ever, having had all the world has to offer. Many of our Christian young people have sold themselves out to get what the world has offered. And many of our kids that grew up in our church who didn't truly get saved are now out living for the world, and they're going to have everything the world has offered, and they're going to split hell wide open. And for all eternity, they will cry out to God for mercy, and there will be no mercy. And like that rich man in hell who had all the world had to offer, God will say, remember in your lifetime all that you had, and now you're tormented. But that Christian you made fun of is now in heaven, and he's not tormented. There are the benefits of creation, and there are the benefits of Christianity. And we need to understand that God has daily loadeth us with benefits. Turn with me very quickly to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And the psalm in verse 40 will be in Psalm and all of our messages, all of our verses that we'll read today. Psalm 40. Look at me at verse 5, if you would, please. Psalm 40 and verse 5, the Bible says, are you there? Say amen. Amen. It says, many, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. Watch the next statement. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I want you to understand something, dear friend, that our God has daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, the benefits of creation and the benefits of Christianity. And here the Bible says that God's benefits are more than can be numbered. They cannot be listed up in order. Now, I had a guy when I was working in a salsa factory and a chip factory, and we made tortilla chips. A Mexican fella owned it. And we had this mash. You know, you take the corn and you boil it, and you get it soft, and then you grind it, and that's what you make the chips out of. Well, there's a byproduct of that. Some of the juice and some of the corn hulls and all that stuff come off of it. And so this guy's a big hog farmer, so he'd come in every day with his barrel, and he'd get all that stuff. And he'd come over to me because he knew as I'd preach, he'd come over and say to me, Reverend, and I don't like that word, but he'd say, Reverend, he said, I remember everything from the moment I was born until the buggy ran away with my brother. My mom put a blanket over my head, and I want to say, you're a liar. I don't remember being born, do you? I don't remember my mama changing my diapers, do you? I don't remember my mama feeding me, either breastfeeding me or bottle feeding me. I don't know what she did. I don't remember any of that stuff. But I'm sitting here thinking about that, by the way, God benefited me long before I remember. But if I were to take time to try to render up in order all that God's done for me, I can't do that. If I were to go and start at 3 years of age and remember, and I want to remember this day he did this day he did this, and I were to do that, I cannot remember. Can I say something to you? It is really sad the way God gets treated by Christians. It's really sad the way God gets treated by this world. Amen? That can't be enough in order. And he goes on to say, they are more than can be numbered. Can I tell you something? Instead of bellyaching about what you don't have, why don't you try to number what you do have? Why don't you be thankful for what God has done for you and just think about it and start giving thanks. And every morning when I get up, I said this morning Sunday school class, I tell the Lord I love Him. And then I start thanking Him. You know what? I thank Him. And I honest truth is, I know that I could never thank Him for everything He's done for me. He thanked me enough. Thank Him enough. And I say, Lord, look, it almost boggles my mind to try to thank You for anything. So Lord, I'm going to thank You for a few things this morning that I know that You've done for me so that You can at least know that I'm blessing You for what You've done for me. We're never going to have revival as long as we're wrapped up in ourselves. We're never going to have revival as long as we're wrapped up in the things of this world. We're never going to have revival as long as we're not content and we're upset because I didn't get what so-and-so got. Who cares? You didn't get what you deserved. Amen. If you're not saved, you're going to get what you deserve. You listen to me. I want you to get this. The only thing I deserve is hell. And that's the only thing you deserve too. You know, everything you have is a gift of God. You understand something? Listen to me, the gifts of creation. Let's think about the benefits of creation, would you? In the beginning, God. Listen, we didn't come from some scum somewhere. And then some little cloud didn't blow up and some scum turned into a tadpole and some tadpole turned into a frog and some frog jumped out and he grew a tail and he started hanging from the tree as a monkey and his tail fell off. Once I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a doctor with a PhD. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me just tell you something God's been serving you with all your life. Watch me look at it. Every breath you take is a gift from God. And how many has He given me in 64 years of life? I can't number them. Amen. Hey, how about... a gift from God. Hey, how about good food, good meat? Thank you, Lord. Let's eat. A gift from God. Hey, did you know the house you live in was built from products that God created? Man has never created anything, nor can he create anything. He can only use what the Creator created. Hey, you know what? God took dust and formed of dust, the dust, the breath, and breathed into man's nostrils a breath of life. And life began. You know why I've lived 64 years? I've lived because God gave me life. You know, if you study it, He created the earth. You know who He created it for? He created it for mankind. He said, I'm going to have this special, by the way, we are not mammals, we are humans. Amen. I am not related to a whale. I am a special creation. Amen. You better listen to me. This world is lying to us because the devil does not want us to appreciate our God. He wants us to be uncontent. He wants us to be mad about everything. He wants us to think we've been so wrong treated. I'll tell you something. We have not been treated wrongly. We are blessed beyond measure. It's time to quit being a crybaby. It's time to quit being a complainer. It's time to quit being like the world, start being a Christian. Amen. Wow. Hope that wasn't a filling. He created everything. He put Adam in this garden. He said, look here, Adam, I planted you this garden. It's got a river running through it. Adam, all these plants here, see all these plants? Those are all there for you to look at, for you to use for your food. He took every other fish of the sea and he made them all. He brought them to Adam and said, hey, look at this fish. What do you call that one? Hey, he took every animal. He made it. He brought it to Adam and said, look at this. Look what I made for you. What do you think about that, Adam? That's cool. What are you going to call that? Duckbill platypus. God's got a sense of humor. Amen. Yeah. And then he did all that and he said, you know, there's something missing in Adam's life. Put Adam to sleep. Amen. Now, if you're married here, male or female, this ought to make you excited. Amen. And he took a rib from Adam and he made woman. And I know why she's called woman. As soon as he woke up, sorry, he went, whoa, man. And it stuck. Amen. Hey, lost people have that. Lost people enjoy the air, enjoy the water. Hey, look, you know what he did? He created your body. A lot of us are like Nebuchadnezzar. Look what I did! I want to say God's probably pretty merciful. He don't strike you dead. Look what God allowed me to do. Look at the brain God gave me so I could be a nuclear physicist. I'm not. I'm a dumb boy. My wife graduated summa cum laude from college. I graduated, please come, Lord, before I have to take this next test. Amen. I am God's dumb boy. I am ADHD. No longer. I don't have hyperactive disorder anymore. I'm getting too old for that. But I am AAD. That's attention adult deficit disorder. Amen. I'm the worst Christian I know. And I'm the worst sinner I know because I don't know you. But God has benefited me so much. Thank God for a wife. Thank God for a husband. By the way, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It doesn't say he that findeth a husband findeth a good thing. Have you ever thought about that, Brother Martina? Oh, Martino, you ever thought about that? I've been pondering that one. I got two options here, okay? You choose the one you want. Option A, women didn't get a good thing when they got a husband. Option B, because our wives are angels, always up in the air harping about something. God's got to keep reminding us we got a good thing. Amen? The benefits of creation. How about a deer? How about a fish? The benefits of creation. I cannot even scratch the surface of all that God did for us for creation. But I want to tell you, He's loaded them on us. There's a lot of corn growing around here. I hate corn. I like to eat it, but I hate being around cornfields. I hate driving the country roads with cornfields. You're going to have an accident. I'm just telling you. Amen? In Kansas, you got weed. It's only about this hall. You can see all the cars come. Not in this country. Amen? I just go to every country road and I just stop and look both ways because somebody's going to broadside me. But think of all that God's done. Tomatoes. Getting hungry yet? Yeah. Hamburger. Fried chicken. You have to know you're called to preach when you love fried chicken. You're called to preach. Amen? Hallelujah. Creation. But wait a minute. What about the benefits of Christianity? Number one, salvation. Are you saved this morning? Know it. 100% sure. No doubts. Jesus said you must be born again. We were all born physically. We didn't do that. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. Our parents did that for us. And you get born not by works. You get born because of what God does for you. Can I tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Number one, the promises of God. I died for you. If you believe in me, you'll be saved. If you call on the Lord, I shall be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. Promise God. But number two, there's got to be a place. You listen to me. I was born in Grace Hospital in Hutchinson, Kansas, July 24th, 1955. I had to have a place of my birth. You have to have a place of your second birth. Right. I was born again in the Haven Baptist Church in Haven, Kansas, when I was 5 years of age. Let me tell you about my salvation experience. My best friend was Steve Valdois. He hopped on a motorcycle with his mom and dad, headed to Phoenix, Arizona. And I saw him drive down the road. I waved with tears running down my eyes. Steve and I were best friends. About 3 months later, my mom got a phone call from Jenny Valdois, And my mom began to weep and say, "Oh, Jenny, I'm sorry." And they talked for a few minutes. My mom hung up the phone where I was at kindergarten that afternoon. I was home from the afternoon because I only had half a day back in those days. Praise the Lord. And my mom said, "Ted, I got some bad news. I'm going to tell you, Steve was killed in an accident today in Phoenix, Arizona. He and a bunch of his friends were playing in a ditch. They were putting a new sewer line in. They were playing in there. When the parents called him to come home, they all started calling out. Steve was the last one down there. And they caused a cave-in, and tons of dirt smothered the life out of my best friend, both of us 5 years of age." And the first thought went through my mind is, I wonder if Steve's in heaven or hell. You want to know why? Because 9 months before I was born, I started going to an independent Baptist church. And I'd sat in the Sunday school class, and I'd heard that sin, that lying was a sin, and disobeying my parents was a sin. And I'd heard that the penalty for sin was hell. And I'd heard that the only way I could go to heaven was Jesus died for my sins. And I had to accept Him as my Savior, and I had not yet done that. But the first thought in my mind is, I wonder if Steve's in heaven or hell. And I began to think about the fact that if I died, I'd go to hell. And we had a magician come in, and he took a black handkerchief and said, "This is your sinful heart." He put it in some red fluid. He pulled it out white and said, "The blood of Jesus will cleanse your heart." By the way, sin is not black, it's red. But that got my mind. You know, I need my heart cleaned. I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to save me. That preacher preached in the evening. We sat on the second pew right there. I can't tell you what he preached. I don't know what he preached. But as soon as he stood up, the Holy Spirit stuck His finger in my heart. Brother Hickson, he said, "You're a sinner going to go to hell if you don't accept Christ." That's called conviction. Can I tell you, I doubt there's any salvation without conviction. What are you getting saved from? You don't try Jesus. You trust Him. You don't pray a prayer, you accept Him. Many of our young people have prayed a prayer and had no more conviction, no accepted Christ than a man in the moon. Well, I was an introvert. I could not let go and walk here, so I hung on to about 100 verses as just as I am. Back in those days, we sang a lot. We didn't care what time we got out. And that whole time, the Holy Spirit convicted me. "You're a sinner, going to go to hell if you don't accept Christ. You're a sinner, going to go to hell." And I'm hanging on. Finally, the preacher said, "Let's pray." And I went, "Shoo." But it wasn't "shoo." Because I spent the first night of my life realizing if I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell. I got up the next day, went to kindergarten that morning, and I just couldn't hardly think about anything except if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Nobody told me I could get saved at home, but I'm glad they didn't. Because I think we've got a lot of kids that got saved at home that never even had any conviction or even prayed a prayer of salvation. Mom and dad wanted them to pray more than they were convicted they needed to pray. That afternoon I'm playing, I finally said, "God, if you'll get me back to church tonight, I'll get saved." My folks sat on the back row that night. I've been mad at them ever since. If I couldn't walk 2 hours, how am I going to walk the whole way down that church? Preacher preached. I don't know what he preached. I can't tell you what he preached. But as soon as we stood for invitation, he said, "Now you're a sinner. You're going to go to hell if you don't accept Christ as Savior. And you promised me if I got you back here tonight, you'd get saved." After about 3 verses of that, I couldn't take any more, Brother Hicks. And I did 3 things all at once. I let go, stepped out, and said, "Okay," in my heart, and I got saved right back there. They took me in a side room. My uncle went me through some verses, and I prayed a prayer. I was saved right back there. It wasn't the prayer that saved me, amen. It was the accepting of Jesus. If we had every one of you stand up this morning, get behind this pulpit and say, "Now you tell us the place where you got saved." Could you honestly do that, or would you have to lie about it? You better not hope you have salvation. You better know you have salvation. How else do I know I'm saved? Because the Bible says that when you get saved, a person moves in. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're not His. It goes on to say in that chapter that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The moment I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. And you know what I knew as a Christian? And there was sin temptation. He would always talk to me, "You shouldn't do that." Now, I was a prodigal. I was wicked. I was a rebel. Can I tell you this, brethren? Not one time was I getting ready to go out to sin that the Holy Spirit of God wouldn't tell me, "You're a Christian. You shouldn't do that." Can I tell you something? God knows your thoughts. And if you're thinking about sin and God's not trying to stop you, I got to wonder if you're saved or not. Because He says He's going to bear witness with you that you're a Christian. And I can testify, though I was as wicked as the day is long, I can testify every time I was going out to sin, the Holy Spirit of God was saying to me, "You know better than that. You are a Christian. You know you shouldn't do that." And He would bring that conviction, and I would step over Him and go sin anyway, but I knew I was in sin against my God. I can tell you something, there's pleasure in sin for a season. So while I was sinning, I shut the Holy Spirit's voice up. But the fourth way you know you're saved is called punishment. Hebrews 12, verse 6 said, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. He endureth chastisement. God dealeth with His son for what sin His father chasteneth not. If you be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons." And once I would drop off the fellas, and once I'd drop off the girlfriend and start heading home by myself, guess who was riding with me? The Spirit of God. And guess what He was doing? He was whooping the fire out of me. And He wasn't doing it by breaking down my car, sending a lightning bolt. He was producing guilt. Guilt. If you can sin and have no guilt, I wonder if you're truly saved. By the time I get home, I'd pull my car and park it in the back of the house. I'd run into the bathroom and I'd fall down on the floor and I'd say, "God, I know I'm not supposed to. I don't know why I do this. God, I really don't want to do this. Oh, God, I'm sorry." If there's no remorse for your sin, I think there's something wrong with your salvation. But thank God for salvation. I don't have to touch hell for 1 second. A benefit of being a Christian is you're going to heaven and not hell. How about security? "I'm glad I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Because if you could lose your salvation, I'd have lost it 10,000, 10 million times. More than that, probably. But you know what? On July 24th, 1955, I was born by Jesse Houston to become Don and Jesse Houston's son. And I will be their son for all eternity, no matter how much I disobeyed them. When I get to heaven, I'll never have another daddy than Don Houston. You see, birth establishes an eternal relationship. Obedience establishes fellowship. And no, I disobeyed my parents a lot, but my daddy never kicked me out of the family. Even if he would have, he couldn't do it physically. And when I got saved, I became God's child forever. And by the way, if you're saved, you don't want to sin, do you? Now, there's a battle, flesh and the spirit, amen. I'm not saying there's no battle. I'm not saying you can't sin when you're saved. I know you can. But if you're truly saved, there's something inside that loves your Father. Something that wants to please Him, though there's that part that wants to rebel. And I was that kind of a child with my dad. I love Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. But I had a rebellious streak, and so sometimes I didn't. But He's still my Father. Thank God for security. Amen. Thank God for the Scriptures. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Think about trying to know how to go to heaven without a Bible. Think about trying to be a good husband without a Bible. Think about child rearing without a Bible. Our country's in the mess it's in because we've kicked the Bible out. Thank God for the Scripture. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God for serenity. Peace I leave with you. You know what? When you go through the valley, aren't you glad there's the peace of God, which passes all understanding? How do you go through it? How do you make it? Only by God's peace. Amen, sister. I lost my daddy a year ago. How do you go through that peace? How do you have peace? Because you know they're going to heaven. I got peace like a river. I got peace. I have cancer. I had cancer. I had peace. If you don't have peace, just cast all your care on Him. Be careful for nothing. Everything by preparing and supplication. So peace, how about that? These are the benefits of being a Christian. How about supply? My God shall supply all your need. How about strength? Yea, I will strengthen thee. My strength, Paul, is made perfect in your weakness. How about supplication? Ask. And a father gives would not give a stone for bread, not give a snake for fish. And your Father loves you more. And how many times has He supplied our need? How many times has He answered our prayer? How many times have we taken our burden to the Lord and left it there? And God gave us peace and strength. Amen. I'm telling you, the blessings of God are innumerable. We could go on forever and ever, but I got to quit before the Methodists beat you to the lunch. Amen. They're more than can be numbered. Turn with me, Psalm 34, if you would, very quickly. We saw, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. We find His thoughts for us cannot be rendered up in order. They're more than can be numbered. Look at Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul maketh her voice boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt His name together. Can I say something to you? Can I just help you? Instead of belly aching, would you please bless God? Instead of complaining about what you don't have, would you start praising God for what you do have? Can I tell you what the Bible says? Be content with such things as you have. There are those that suppose gain is godliness. You should read that verse. Many in our Christianity, in our churches today, have that same philosophy. The reason I'm godly because God has blessed me. If I wasn't being blessed, then I wouldn't be godly. There's nothing further from the truth. If blessing, if material possessions make you godly, Hugh Hefner was godly. Donald Trump is godly. Has nothing to do with what you and I have. It has to do with the goodness of God, and we ought to bless the Lord for all His benefits. We ought to be thankful every day and spend time saying, God, thank you for doctor. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for food. Thank you for clothes. Thank you for life. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Grandchildren, if I'd known they were so great, I'd skip those kids. Amen. You know what grandkids are? God's reward for not killing your kids. And the one that's a preacher, I had my hand around his throat several times. Amen. He was a strong-willed, stiff-necked one. Amen. Thank God we ought to bless the Lord. Then turn with me very quickly, if you would. Again in Psalm, to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, who daily loads of benefits. We can't render them up in order. They're more than can be numbered. We ought to bless the Lord at all time. And forget not all. Look what it says here now in verse 103, verse 2. I about got ahead of myself. Look what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Hey, can I tell you something? The reason we bellyache and complain is because we've forgotten what God did for us in the past. You know, instead of Israel, they soon forgot God. You know, when Israel forgot God, they went into carnality. When they went into carnality, they suffered the judgment of God. And woe be unto them for getting mad at God for judging their carnality. It would not have happened if they hadn't forgot what God did for them. Can I tell you what? Our young people run away from God and go out into the world and quit church because they're too wrapped up in being upset what they didn't get instead of realizing what they did get. And we've done a real good job of spoiling them and making them materialistic. And teaching them that it's important to get, and have it. I don't have enough, and my truck is 2 years old, so I got to have a new one. And we wonder why our children leave God and serve the world, because we have chosen to them that you just forget what God did for you, and you'll be unhappy until you get what you want. No wonder our country's going to the devil. No wonder our churches are going to the devil. No wonder we're losing our young people, because we're not praising God, not being thankful, and we're forgetting what God did to us, and we're bellyaching and complaining and murmuring and upset because I don't get to have what everybody else has on that junk. Amen. There's a bunch of us parents ought to get to an altar. Ask God to forgive us for teaching our children that life's about things. And then wondering why they go out into the world. Because we forgot what God did for us. We're too busy worrying about what we don't have, trying to get what we want. Amen. And lastly, turn with me to Psalm 116. I hope you and I, as God's people, will start blessing God for His benefits. I hope we'll quit living with a lust for things instead of a thankfulness for what God's done for us. By the way, can I say this? I'm not against people working. They should work. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I'm also not against people having things. God daily loads us with benefits. Gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. He's even a capitalist. He said a man's reward are the fruit of his labor. Amen. But what I am upset with is the fact that that's become what we're most blessful for. Is what we've been able to attain. Instead of the one who gave us the ability to attain. There was a movie called Shenandoah. I don't really support movies, but it was James Stewart was in it. He had this big fancy ranch. At the start, he's at the table saying grace. He's saying, Lord, we thank you for this food, which, by the way, we have raised. And our hands have prepared. And then the Civil War breaks out. One of his sons goes and fights for one side, another son for another side. And sons get killed and one ends up in prison. And after the war, some rebel marauders come in and rape and kill his daughter-in-law. Probably not a good movie to watch, amen. And kill his son. And when it's all said and done, they're now sitting around the table and he prays, Lord, I want to thank you for what we have and for my family which you've given me. A complete transformation, because it all fell apart. Isn't it sad it has to fall apart before we love God? Isn't it sad that we'll run off into the world, our young people will run off into the world and live ungodly until the bottom falls out? And then they run back to God. Thank God they do. But what a sadness that they felt that God wasn't worthy to be praised and to be served. Psalm 116, and look at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Ponder that question. After 16 trillion breaths of air, what do I owe God? After 7 oceans worth of water, what do I owe God? After 64 years of what do I owe God? after a brain that can think and make decisions and can calculate and even maybe be smart enough to make a fortune, what do I owe God? After hands that can work and labor, can hold, after a wife and children and grandchildren, what do I owe God? And after He saved me from hell for all eternity, after God so loved the world, He gave His Son. After Jesus died the most excruciating death there could be physically, and then suffered all the punishment of hell for all human beings for all eternity, what should I render to God? Well, I'll show up to church every once in a while if I feel like it. Well, I might pray once in a while if I need something. I'm not trying to be mean. Surely you got enough sense in your brain and enough feeling in your heart to know that you owe God everything. And how dare us treat God like He's our vending machine to give us what we want and then sin against Him and blaspheme His name and make fun of Him and complain and bellyache. I'll tell you what we should render to God. Number one, we should render to God our passion. I spoke on it this morning. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, more than anything else. You know what? You ought to render to God your love. Love not the world. Love God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. I mean, listen, the way you act, the attitude you have, the talk you do, the actions you do, the way you miss church, the way you treat God's Word, does that tell God that you love Him for what He's done for you? We ought to render Him passion. We ought to render Him our praise. Bless the Lord. I said, when I get up in the morning, I say, I love you, and then I thank God. I just do that not because I'm a great Christian. I do that because I believe that's what God deserves of me. I believe that's the way I should start my day. Not complaining, not belly aching, not lusting, not unsatisfied, but thank you, Lord. I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving my wife. Thank you for all you've done for me. I got more to thank God about than I got time to do it. We ought to render our person. First of all, we ought to get saved. After God sent His Son, Jesus died for you, how dare you reject salvation? And if you can't do it because of that, you ought to do it because He does this for you. I just gave you life. That ought to be enough to get saved over. And I'm going to just say this. I'm not trying to be mean, but to me, it's a no-brainer to get saved. Heaven or hell? I ain't stupid. My mama didn't raise but one dumb boy, and it ain't me. I'm not going to choose hell over heaven. Why would anybody do that? Why do they sit in our churches, grow up in our youth groups, and why do they go to hell? It's only because of an attitude placed in them by their sin nature and a lousy, stinking, rotten, filthy, lying devil who lies to them and tells them that it's the worst thing they could do, and they'll, for all eternity, they'll hear His words and regret they listened to Him, and they'll regret that they chose not to accept Christ as Savior. You're here this morning, you're not saved. I wouldn't spend 5 seconds in that pew in invitation and get down here and give myself to Jesus. You ought to render your body too. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed that you may prove with that as good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You ought to give your life to Christ. Say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. How dare you take all He gives you? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. How dare you take all He gives you? And then says, my life, I'll do what I want to with it. How dare us? How dare us do that? Well, we can. But I hope you won't. Hey, we ought to render our presence. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Can I say something to you? This is the bride of Christ. Be careful how you treat it. Don't snub the bride of Christ. Don't snub my wife. Don't snub my wife. Don't act like my wife is a nothing. Don't you act like Christ's bride is a nothing. I'll snub it. I'll come to church. I don't have to be in church. No, you don't have to, but God told you to be. By the way, we don't read the next verse. Verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully, missing church is a willful sin. There remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fear from looking for of judgment, firing your nation, which shall devour the adversary. You know what God said? If you miss church, my anger is just the same as it is for the devil. Read it. Go on, 10, 25, 26, 27, 28. The word for refers to what I just said. And willful sinning. We don't miss church by accident. We miss church by willfully. I'm not going today. And God said, there's no sacrifice for that. Your child obeys you and they don't know what's wrong. That's one thing. But when they know what's wrong and they disobey you, that's willful sin. You got to let that slide? Nor can God. By the way, we ought to render to God purity. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. We ought to not sin. God forbid, shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there yet? How we love to play with sin, don't we? And how we are presuming upon God's grace. Well, I've done it before, nothing happened. But God will someday get tired of that. I buried two of my Christian schoolboys before they were 30. Those are called the sin unto death. Both of them confessing they knew if they didn't get right, something was going to happen to them. How did they know that? Because they were saved and they had the Holy Spirit. A young person who gets no message like that, probably not saved. Right. Right. Well, I did it, nothing happened, did it, nothing happened. But God hasn't told you you're about to step over the line? Yeah. I just wonder if you're truly accepting Christ or not. Yeah. He said He would chasten you. And then He said, if a brother sins a sin, not unto death, pray for him. If he sins a sin unto death, don't pray for him. You get nothing you can do for somebody that's dead. We need to render him purity. And lastly, we need to render him proclamation. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't you think after what Jesus has done for us, we ought to go out and tell others what He's done for us and what He can do for them? Don't you think we owe it to go tell the world that you can be saved and not go to hell? Amen. He daily loads us with benefits. They are more than can be numbered or rendered up in order. We ought to bless the Lord at all times. We ought not forget His benefits. And then we ought to ask ourselves this question. What do I owe God? Can I ask this question? What's salvation worth? What's security worth? What's serenity worth? The benefits of God. I want you to be seated, still bow your heads and close.